right. If I could. Okay. Well, welcome to the Village of River Forest Committee of the Whole meeting on Monday, April 12th at a little after 6 o'clock. If I can have the clerk please take the roll call. Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennick. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Ducey. Here. Okay, we've got two, I believe, public comments for the Committee of the Whole meeting. Ms. Margion. I don't see her. Okay, so we'll go to Dan. Dan, you're up next on the for the Committee of the Whole. Is that correct?
Okay. Daniel Lauber, 7215 Oak River Forest. Newcomer, just 34 years here. Now that the elections are over, it's time for us to all work together to achieve the village's adopted goals and policies and put the village over politics. My suggestions regarding this budget are intended to be constructive suggestions to enable the village to better achieve its adopted goals. First, I gotta say that the staff that put together the budget did a really, really good job. It's a very excellent, well-presented document that the village can be proud of. And what I've got to suggest here is really just working around the edges. It's not major changes. There's been a pattern I've observed over the years of the village not exactly adequately staffing and funding its boards and commissions. I think that it's one thing to, you know, put people on a commission like an economic development commission with the hope that their experience in business would lead to a good economic development program. But the fact of the matter is, while these people are superb business people able to make money in their businesses, they don't have the professional expertise to develop a sound economic development program and implement it. And I would strongly urge you, as strongly as possible, to create a position in this budget for a full-time experienced professional planner with great expertise in economic development and zoning. Economic development, not just for developing a sound economic development plan that's adjusted for the unique situation of River Forest, but also at promoting the economic development and a major effort to attract businesses to the town that fit within the nature of the town. That person also really needs to understand zoning. It's about time we had someone on staff who really understands zoning. The last person we had was Dave Plyman, who was assistant village administrator when we moved here 34 years ago. That commission has to be supported by staff. And I've noticed on the age-friendly ad hoc committee that I'm on, we've really been stymied by the fact that we didn't have not had professional staff to assist us, nor a budget. And I think that if we're going to really advance the village's goals, that these committees need to have professional staff with expertise in the subject matter that needs to be handled, including doing surveying and a budget. With our committee, we're expected to do a survey. It needs to be random sample to be worth anything, not another one of these surveys posted on the internet where 38 people respond and you have a self-selected anything but a representative sample. And that costs money to do a survey. So we need money, adequate funds budgeted for surveying and for professional staff for the age-friendly committee. And I suspect a number of other committees could use that as well. And I notice in the budget, it very clearly says there's no budget for the Economic Development Committee, no budget for the age-friendly committee and a number of other committees. I couldn't find any funds dedicated to implementing the Twin Villages Covenant with Maywood. And I'm just wondering if I'm missing something there. We need to also address some of the other goals you've adopted, one of which is reducing the village's carbon footprint. This actually involves the police department. And I'm searching for this article on my computer. I've only got 3 million files on it, so it's a little hard to find. But I have an article from a number of years ago where Dallas, Texas was retrofitting their squad cars with a device in their trunks that would allow them to turn the cars off in winter, not leave them on when they're parked and getting lunch or whatever, or doing a call, that allows them to leave their computers on. And not only reduces the cost of fuel that's used, but adds years to the life of the police cars, which reduces the village's capital expenditures and helps save the taxpayer money. And I will find that article for you when I can. I gave it to the police chief years ago and there was no action on it. Second, I noticed that the village is taking computers out of use when their warranties expire. I have a sideline of building computers. I keep very good track of the industry publications. I am at a loss as to why your consultant is having you take computers out of action after the warranties expire, which typically, unless you've got or buying extended warranties, are 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, computers last a whole lot longer than that. And the hardware is unlikely to wear out. Major problems that happen are with software, and that's easily solved. So I would urge you to reevaluate that. I can't imagine spending $47,000 on new computers practically every year, I suspect. We can save some money there. And like I said, this is working around the edges. And finally, I would hope that you would budget some money to improve. You've all talked about transparency and citizen participation. And I think a village of our sophistication should be able to put a few dollars towards developing a notification system so that people can sign up to be notified about particular issues and particular ordinances that could come before the village board or the zoning board of appeals. Even Itasca, which is smaller than River Forest and nowhere near the sophistication of River Forest, has such a system so that people, for example, could be notified about Haymarket's proposal to convert a hotel into a drug rehab facility. People are able to sign up and obtain, get notified whenever there's a hearing, and they have everything involved in that online. Surely a village as sophisticated as River Forest is capable of doing that. So I applaud the staff for putting together the budget and the trustees that worked with them. Wonderfully presentable document, but I hope you can make some small tweaks in it to enable the enable the village to achieve its goals. The economic development has been festering on and on, but we really need a full-time staff person with expertise in economic development and market promotion of the village, as well as zoning, because it's intimately related. Thank you very much.
Dan, I see Margie is here. So Margie?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had a technological issue here. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. Margie Secunder, 531 River Oaks Drive. I am concerned about the deficit spending that we have this year that we had last year. And going forward, I see what's going to save us is the bond issuance, $5.4 million, a bond issuance, most of which will go to CapEx. Some of it may help bolster the deficit spending we've been having, but we forewent $250,000 of revenue in the current fiscal year by having a flat tax increase. Eric Palm mentioned before he left that this year would be tight, this coming year, the new year would be tight. We've done that. I see that there's a huge increase in the trust funds, the pension funds. But if you deduct those from overall revenues, your revenues are down $1.2 million in the current fiscal year, 2021. You have nearly flat inflation going forward because of the CPI. And I worry about the tightening and continued tightening without bond issuance. And I don't like relying on bond issuance. You've got a lot of big ticket items in the budget, like $1.3 million for automated water meters. that cannot be justified on labor savings and water leakage. So there's other rationale you may have, but that's to replace 2/3 of the meters. Mine isn't that old. So if the project is so justifiable, why does Siemens have money in there for a PR budget? Your alleys, you have a big budget in alleys. I didn't get all the way through the document. It's a lot to sift through for residents and trustees probably and staff. So I think it's great there's extra time to digest it. You have large trucks and a lot of trucks in the budget I saw before Thursday for truck replacement. Some of those big trucks can't even get around the circle in River Oaks, even after you shrank the size of the circle. So they're too big to work well. I agree with Dan Law around the replacement technology. We don't need to replace it when the warranty expires. We have foregone tax revenue from Lake and Lathrop. The Sheridan facility was approved 3 weeks after Lake and Lathrop. Lake and Lathrop is at least 3 years off. So we're foregone property tax, municipal income tax, sales tax, communications tax. All of that adds up, especially this year, next year, and the following year. The organization chart on page 25 is inaccurate. Since the trustees cannot obtain information from the administrator and the attorney, as Trustee Hennick has tried to do since November on Lake and Lathrop, so I ask that that org chart either be corrected for actuality or the board function differently. The pension costs rose 15% in 2021, fiscal 2021. Eric Paul mentioned because of mortality tables changing. You have some incorrect numbers between pages 58 and 60. There's discrepancy in the current fiscal year on those. But you're now going to be at a higher level of pension funding because of the change in mortality rates. I see you have a 30% water rate increase again. This time for fiscal 2022, I object to that. So you're gonna have green lawns on wealthy properties and brown lawns on others. And you're also, it's a very regressive tax. And I disagree to relying on bond issuance of $5.4 million to balance our budgets. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, that concludes our public comments for the committee of the whole. So we'll go ahead on to discussion of our fiscal year 2022 village operating budget. So I'll let the acting village administrator take it from here.
Sure. Just give me a moment. I'm going to share my screen here. All right, can everybody see the slideshow? Okay, yes, very good. Good evening, President Adusi, Village Trustees, and members of the public. Thank you for this opportunity to present to you the fiscal year 21-22 operating budget. Tonight, we'll review the individual funds and department budgets that have been prepared for the fiscal year 2022 and beyond. Following this meeting, and we move into the regular board meeting, a public hearing will be held as is statutorily required. And then on April 26th, the board will be asked to consider an ordinance approving the annual budget. As we move forward with our presentation, we acknowledge that we continue to operate and manage the village's finances against the backdrop of the COVID-19 pandemic. The village remains in a strong financial position due to sound fiscal policies and decisions over the past several years that have positioned the village well to weather this storm. This is no small feat, and as we get started, I want to thank the Village Board of Trustees for their continued support and strong leadership, and acknowledge the hard work and good stewardship of the Village's staff in managing our operations and finances. So as we get started, I'd like to take a moment to highlight the fact that the Village's current budget has received the Distinguished GFOA Budget Award, and the fiscal year 2022 budget that we're presenting tonight is designed to continue receipt of this prestigious award. The five-year capital plan that was previously discussed by the board back in January is incorporated into the fiscal year 2022 budget. The village board goals and accomplishments are on pages 26 and 27 of the budget document that's available on our website. If you go to vrf.us under departments and finances, where you'll find the draft budget and also the draft CIP These documents are prepared in the village department goals are all prepared with the board's three guiding principles in mind. And those are to ensure that the village provides a safe and welcoming community for its residents, business owners, and institutional partners, enhancing our property values through strengthening our quality of life, and implementing strategies to stabilize property taxes. Moving on to a snapshot of the general fund, it's important to note that this is the main operating fund for the village. The fiscal year 2022 budget is balanced. Despite the ongoing impact of COVID-19, staff have been able to balance the general fund budget, and we're showing a modest surplus in fiscal year 22 of $15,087. The village has identified one-time expenditures that are not attributable to a structural deficit and will be funding those expenses through general fund reserves. These expenses include the village's premium for liability insurance, which will be paid with insurance reserves, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. It also includes pre-hires in the police department for positions which have become or are expected to become vacant due to retirement, for example. Recruiting and retaining quality candidates for our public safety departments, particularly in the police department, is challenging. And the lead time needed to recruit, hire, train, et cetera, for that position is pretty substantial. Our pre-hire program has been successful in allowing the village department, police department, to maintain approved staffing levels. One-time expenses also include consulting service expenses associated with implementing the comprehensive plan and consulting fees for the DEI advisory group, as well as recruiting fees. So taking a high-level overview of the general fund, we anticipate a 0.52% increase in revenues in fiscal year 22. Although the village has fared well through the pandemic, we continue to be conservative and cautious in our projections. These projections take into account the board-approved measure not to increase the 2020 tax levy. It does not, however, take into account the $1.34 million the village anticipates receiving from the American Rescue Plan, and that's just for a few very simple reasons. Number one, information about the funding that the village was to be awarded was coming out about the same time that we were going live with the budget document, and so we didn't have an opportunity to incorporate that revenue across our funds. In addition, the finance director and I continue to look for additional guidance about when those funds may be received, what expenses might be eligible for use by those funds, what timeline we may be under in utilizing those funds, and what other community programs may qualify. And so that's something we will be bringing back to the Village Board of Trustees at a future date when we have some more information. The important thing, though, is that the budget is balanced even without those revenues. I would note that when you look at fines, it does appear that it is increasing, but I just want to clarify that that is not because the village is increasing any fine amounts. So whatever our fines and fees are today is what our fines and fees are going to be for fiscal year 22. This increase reflects a normalizing in our revenue streams as we compare them to pre-pandemic levels. So digging in a little further on general fund revenues, as noted here, property sales and income taxes make up approximately 2/3 of general fund revenues. Sales tax are expected to increase slightly despite a few retail vacancies and relatively flat projection for sales. Again, as we look at our revenue sources, what we are anticipating is a normalizing of revenue streams compared to pre-pandemic levels. Property taxes will decrease because the village did not increase its 2020 property tax levy. Income tax projections are expected to increase as the per capita projections from the Illinois Municipal League improved slightly, and the state discontinued its 5% reduction in receipts. We rely on the Illinois Municipal League for these per capita revenue projections and other revenue projections. And as you may have seen in the governor's budget proposal, he is looking to reduce some of these amounts by 10%, and that would have a pretty significant impact on the village's budget of about $124,000 in order to balance the state's budget. Obviously, the Illinois Municipal League and other municipal organizations have opposed the governor's proposals to reduce municipal revenue. Building permit activity remains relatively strong, with investment continuing in private properties as well as some of our institutional properties. Those institutional partners are taking advantage of favorable construction environments and investing in their facilities. Refuse revenues are expected to increase on 2%, or excuse me, 2% on May 1. That is a pass-through from the contract that the village has with Roy Strom. Our contract with them is in effect through April 2022. That is the, there's also a 2.5% increase per that contract in composting fees and a 5-cent increase in waste tags. However, aside from that contractually obligated fee increase, there are no other fee increases proposed in the general fund, but the fiscal year 2022 and beyond, staff will be evaluating potential fee adjustments and bringing those forward to the board at the appropriate time. Looking at general fund expenditures, again, at a very high level, we're actually projecting that they will decrease 0.32%. Although this is a very small amount, I think it's important to note that in several categories where we would potentially or typically see increases, the village is holding the line or decreasing expenditures in some very key areas. As you've heard staff discuss in previous budget presentations, over three quarters of the general fund budget is attributed to personnel costs, as this is a customer service organization. Of the village's employees, approximately 70 to 75% of them are represented by labor unions and have collective bargaining agreements. For example, in the Public Works Department, the Public Works employees are represented by Local 150, and we have a collective bargaining agreement with them that expires April 30th, 2022. We also have an agreement that we are anticipating being finalized with the FOP, which represents our police and sergeants, police officers and sergeants in the police department. That negotiation ultimately went to arbitration, but prior to going to arbitration, we were able to reach an agreement on wages and benefits, and so those numbers have already been programmed into the budget for this and future fiscal years. We continue to work with IAFF, who recognizes, or excuse me, represents our fire lieutenants and firefighters, and those contracts have not yet been settled. However, we do program in a certain amount of money to account for those salary increases so that when that contract is settled, we're prepared to pay those amounts. We are proposing a very modest 1.5% cost of living adjustment for all non-union employees, which is a relatively small group of people. And other than those changes, there are no authorized staffing level changes being requested in the budget. So we are not proposing that we add any staff members in fiscal year 22. In addition to salaries, we also obviously offer our employees benefits. As we talked a little bit about before, we do have contributions to police and fire pensions, as well as IMRF pensions for non-sworn employees. We also have expenditures associated with providing health and dental insurance benefits to those employees. We note that there have been increases to police and fire pensions by the amounts that are shown here, and we'll talk about those a little bit more in the coming slides. But I do want to take a moment to talk about health insurance and the fact that the village continues to beat industry trends with health insurance premiums through its membership in the IPBC, which is basically an insurance pool that we're a part of with nearly 100 other municipalities. And so we purchase those benefits basically in bulk and can leverage our purchasing purchasing potential through that. The fiscal year 2022 budget includes decreases in HMO and dental insurance premiums, along with a very modest increase in PPO expenses. Since the publication of those budget, those numbers have improved further, with the HMO actually decreasing further from, I think we programmed in 4.5%, and it's actually going down 5.3%. PPO we projected to go up 1.1%, but it's only going up by 0.3%. And together, aggregated all together, our benefits are only going up 0.22%, which is below market trends and great news for the village's finances. Our contractual expenses also comprise a pretty significant portion of our general fund budget. The most notable contractual arrangements include our refuse collection contract with Roy Strom. And again, those contractual obligations are the only fee increases we're discussing. And that contract represents a third of the general fund contractual expenses. This also accounts for our contribution to the West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch Center, or WSCDC. There is an increase shown in the fiscal year 2022 budget because there are some communities that have exited the center to examine or to pursue dispatch services through other agencies. I know that WSCDC continues to work to try to recruit new members to improve their position. At the same time, they've also responded to the exit of the other communities by making the appropriate changes within their organization. This has been a relatively changing landscape over the last few years with the consolidation bills that apply to dispatch centers. And we are continuing to watch this as there are or potentially may be other legislation in the future that may require additional consolidation. So we'll keep an eye on that and keep the board apprised of that issue. This also includes our contract with our IT support vendor, but it's not just for IT day-to-day support. It also includes all subscriptions, licenses, websites, et cetera, that the village utilizes. And this is something that is organization-wide, not just for one particular department. The same is true for our liability insurance and deductible. You see here that our premium for the fiscal year is $229,396. The village maintains reserves at IRMA. So again, like with the IPBC for health insurance, we also pool our liability insurance so that we're pooling our risk with approximately 75 or so other communities, and that allows us to really control this expenditure. So we are proposing to use some of the funds that we have held in reserve at IRMA to pay this one time. It's good to have that pot of money there to use it for these types of rainy day expenditures, and that's exactly what I think we're hitting here. So we will use those reserves to pay for this expense. I would also note that our premium continues to drop as we have elected a higher deductible, but more importantly, we have a more favorable claims experience that we can rely on to drive that cost down. Mm-hmm. Finally, within the general fund, we have the commodities budget, which is expected to actually decrease because we had a surplus this year and we were able to make a couple purchases out of the Public Works Department equipment budget this fiscal year instead of purchasing them in fiscal year 22. So as we look at our three-year projection for our fund balance, you can see where our general fund is projected to be. One thing I want to note is that as you look at fiscal year 2024, that bottom right square where it talks about the ending unassigned fund balance of $2.38 million, it's important to note that this doesn't include the $1.8 million that the village's general fund loaned the TIF for the strategic property purchased on the Madison Street TIF. So as you look at 2.3, you really need to add $1.8 million to that because the TIF will pay that money back. And so the headline that I want everybody to take away is we continue to watch the village's finances. We continue to be very conservative in our revenue projections and as well as our expenditures, but the village remains in a strong financial position. So I do want to take a moment to just get down into departmental budgets and highlight a few things here. There's a lot of text on the screen. I certainly won't sit here and read all of it to everyone. I'm pretty confident you can all read it within the budget document. The important thing I want to note is that the village staff continues to make substantial progress, both in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. As we all know, that continues to be an ongoing issue. And it's impacted not just our finances, but our operations and our staff, and we continue to be as flexible as we need to be to maintain our operations and serve the organization, serve the residents of this community. We also continue to look at smart city technology and implement new software, new processes, new technology wherever we can across all of our departments. I just want to highlight a few key initiatives on this page, and then I'll move along. We continue to work on age-friendly and dementia-friendly initiatives. The board's direction on these items has been very clear, and we are continuing to work both with the committee and even among our staff at looking at age-friendly and senior-friendly programs throughout the organization. We also have in our goals for next year support of the village's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group, continuing the implementation of the comp plan and the affordable housing plan, continuing to take a look at COVID-19, and then collaborating again with other agencies on a possible expansion or improvement of the Civic Center Authority building. In the police department, I really have to applaud them. There are few areas of our organization that have been as impacted as our public safety department by COVID-19. And so despite all of the changing things around us, they have continued to provide outstanding service to the community, and they've continued to host quarterly safety meetings and provide a pretty robust community outreach where necessary. So we applaud them for their efforts, and we look forward to how they will continue to do that going forward. Our police department continues to be at the cutting edge of utilizing technology, particularly to act as a force multiplier, whether it's by utilizing street cameras or technology within the vehicles themselves. The police department is certainly challenged to do not necessarily more with less, but to find new and innovative ways of providing service to the community without necessarily adding employees. And so they've been very responsive in doing that. And the fire department, again, they continue to be impacted by all things COVID related with responding to calls and also working very hard to keep themselves healthy and able to respond to the community's needs during the pandemic. The police and fire departments were key partners in bringing to light the COVID vaccination clinics that were offered off over the last few months. And they continue to work with their other mutual aid organizations and community volunteers to respond and ensure that we're doing whatever we can to protect the public's health and vaccinate as many people as possible and support those efforts. The fire department's also looking at basically updating a few items within their department, whether it's policies and procedures, training and evaluation, whatever they can do to continue to modernize and innovate within their department. And they've also been working hand in hand with the building department on the implementation of new building permit software. So they've been a very critical partner in all of those initiatives. And of course, last but not least, our public works department. There are a lot of different ways to provide public works services these days, and I think snow and ice response is a really good example of that. If you haven't had an opportunity to see the video that Mark Giannopoulos put together about salt brine equipment and how they utilize that for snow fighting operations, please feel free to go to the Village's Facebook page and check that out. I thought it was a really great video and a really great example of how this department continues to work to be more green, how they continue to work to innovate what they do and protect the community and keep the roads passable, particularly in snowstorms. Fiscal year 2022, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is going to be a really big year for the Public Works Department in terms of the infrastructure projects and efficiencies through the AMI that they're going to be looking to create. And so we'll talk about those projects here in just a minute, but I want to applaud them for continuing to bring those projects forward. So it's a perfect time to segue from Public Works into the Water and Sewer Fund. And looking at the Village's Water and Sewer Fund, we have a few high-level projections here. We are showing a deficit each year due to large capital expenditures, but this is a strategic expense, and we'll talk about how we are looking to address that in the coming fiscal year. So within the Water and Sewer Fund, there are several projects. These were all discussed back in January as part of the CIP discussion, so I don't want to dwell on them. But as you can see, there are routine projects such as sewer lining and point repairs, as well as some pretty substantial new projects like AMI, automated metering infrastructure, the Keystone improvements. And in lieu of doing a water main replacement program, we have set aside funds of $250,000 for a lead service line replacement program that will assist private property owners with the replacement of those lines on private property. So there will be more to come from the Public Works Department in coming board meetings about that program and additional details that they're going to be rolling out to the community. In terms of water and sewer rates, the Village did not pass along the water rate increase from the City of Chicago or impose additional rate increases. Overall, the Village is passing along the Chicago rate increase, but we are not imposing any local increases. The City of Chicago is proposing a 5% increase to water, so that is the increase that's being passed along is 5% per unit of water. And we've been keeping up with these wholesale rate increases, but the Village has not imposed a local rate increase since 2018. So here is a history of the rate increases, and as you can see, this is what we've been looking at from the Village in 2018. And then Chicago at the same time, and then again, it's everything has just been Chicago since that time. Looking forward to fiscal year 22 and beyond, we are proposing some rate increases at that time. However, I would note that these are placeholders simply because we need to show responsibly some projections in the budget. What we are proposing is that for fiscal year 22, the Village updates its water and sewer rate study that was prepared by Baxter and Woodman in 2016 and set rates that were sufficient through 2021. So obviously we're coming to the end of that study and we're proposing that a new one be drafted. So we don't know what that study will propose at this point, but again, I would just note that these are placeholders. Looking at 3-year projections in the water and sewer fund, we see increases in fiscal year 22 associated with the village's larger infrastructure projects. In future years, we are showing that we'll dip below our desired fund reserves. However, this information will all be considered and incorporated into the funding study, the rate study that Baxter and Woodman or whoever successfully bids on the project, I shouldn't presume that it's going to be them, will go out for proposals for that. But all of this information will be taken into account as part of that future study. And so we will come back to the board with more accurate projections once we complete that. I would also note, too, that these projections are based on a lot of factors over which the village has no control. We could have a very dry summer and we could have a substantial amount of revenue that throws these numbers in a completely opposite direction. We could also obtain a substantial amount of grant funding, which we're aggressively pursuing. That could reduce the actual expenditures that are spent out of that fund, which we will continue to do because obviously we want to keep this fund in a good position as well. So we'll continue to aggressively pursue those grant dollars and funding dollars. And again, between that and actual project expenditures, perhaps even coming in under what we had anticipated, this could look very different next year when we're sitting here at the same time. So while I want to be conservative and cautious, what I don't want to do is sound the panic alarm because I don't think we're at that point, and I don't think that, that would be an accurate reflection of the different things that go into projecting a budget. And obviously, the further out we get, the harder those projections become to, it's harder to make those projections accurate. So again, caution and conservative, but not panicked. So let's talk about pension funds. Obviously, this is an area of concern for all of us. These are statutory obligated funds, statutorily obligated, and the village intends to meet the obligations that are set forth by the statute. At the same time, we also recognize that this is an area of continued pressure on the general fund. One of the challenges that we run into is that mortality tables are changed from time to time. That updates, quite candidly, the life expectancy of a police officer, and that changes how much funding has to be set aside over a period of time. In addition to that, there are interest earnings and investment assumptions that are made and calculated. And they're done, we take a look at our investments on April 30th of each year. Now, April 30th of this year compared to April 30th of last year may very well be night and day. So some of it is a function of timing. And had that number been calculated on July 1 as opposed to April 1, we might be looking at a different contribution. And so it is what it is. We respond to it and we're responsible with it every year. But obviously it's something that we continue to take a look at. One of the things I would note is that our pension fund projections do not take into account the anticipated positive impact from the consolidation of pension fund investments that the governor and that the state legislator were able to pass. And so we anticipate that those will have a positive impact. We are waiting for some of that information to mature, and we'll continue to bring that back to the village board. Turning our attention to special revenue funds, the motor fuel tax fund is used to fund the street improvement program as well as other related maintenance expenditures. So we do utilize some of those funds for snow and ice control expenses, crack sealing, and street patching. MFT is allocated to the village board on a per capita basis by the state. And so here we have listed the program that was included in the CIP for road resurfacing and the different streets that are included in the SIP for this coming year. The village maintains a capital equipment replacement fund to set aside money for the replacement of depreciable assets, namely vehicles and equipment. At the beginning of fiscal year 2021, the SERF was over 100% funded. In order to balance the budget last year, due to some concerns obviously that we had about the situation we were in, the village did not make any transfers from the general fund to the SERF and deferred future or certain purchases, excuse me, to future fiscal years. So there were pieces of equipment or vehicles that we could continue to keep around. And that's something we do routinely. So just because a vehicle or a piece of equipment comes up for replacement, and I think the SCBA or compressor is a good example of that, that's been in the CIP for a number of years, and a fire truck. And we continue to budget for it, and we continue to program it in the SURF and the CIP, but we don't actually, because we have to have the funds available in the event that that equipment breaks down and it's pretty mission critical. But if we can continue to utilize the equipment, we do. And so just because it's budgeted doesn't automatically mean it's replaced. Sometimes there are strategic deferrals and sometimes there are not. So this fiscal year, we are again recommending that we defer the general fund contribution to SURF because we're still in a really good financial position there. We don't defer vehicles forever and we don't defer transfers forever because it just doesn't make sense to do that. We certainly don't want key equipment to break down. Also, we don't want to have funding spikes in any given year because we just kicked the can down the road a little too far. So I have to commend our police, fire, and public works departments. They do a really good job refurbishing vehicles where it makes sense. And they're not throwing good money after bad. They're maintaining a really good fleet and a solid base of equipment that they need to do the job. So this is just a summary of the expenditures that were discussed in the CIP in January, which I won't spend any more time on because I certainly don't want to run over on our time. So just taking a moment to talk about SIF. This is a fund that was created in 2014 and it's funded by red light camera revenues. We do not use those revenues for operating purposes. Those are used and set aside for capital improvements in the organization, and a portion of them are, a portion of the SIF is also devoted to parking lot revenues and parking lot maintenance. SIF projects that were included in the CIP are listed here. Again, I won't spend a lot of time dwelling on them because I think we've already talked about them at length. I would note that we are not spending any money until we are confident and comfortable with the amount of revenue that the SIF will be generating under the village's new agreement with the new red light camera vendor. So just taking a look at future year general funds as I conclude my comments here. The fiscal year 2022 budget includes a $614,000 $614,000 in one-time expenditures. As we noted, this is a strategic decision to utilize general fund reserves to pay for one-time expenditures that don't contribute to the village's structural deficit. The village's operating budget as presented is balanced for fiscal year 22. There are deficits projected in fiscal year 23 and 24, and I certainly don't mean to make light of them, but staff works very hard to balance the budget. We bring forward a balanced budget every year, and we will continue to do so. I'm confident that we will be able to do so here. There are, again, revenues and expenditures, some of which are outside of the village's control, many of which are not, and we manage to responsibly manage those funds every year. And so while we need to be cautious and we need to be responsible stewards of the village's finances, I want everyone to know that Eric Palm left us in a really good financial position. The village board has been a key partner. The finance director has been a key partner in ensuring that we have sound fiscal policies and sound financial management within the organization. We've said it once, we'll say it five times. Pension funding continues to be a concern. It continues to be a legislative priority for the village. We note that we have increased our contributions over $2 million since 2020. The general fund property tax levy for all other purposes has decreased $1.1 million over the same period of time. So again, the pension funds, the pension funding obligations, we intend to meet those obligations. Those are benefits that the employees have earned and are statutorily obligated. However, we recognize that they continue to place additional pressure on the general fund and that long-term solutions are needed. I think the consolidation of pension investments downstate is definitely one step in the right direction. So just taking a look at future years in the general fund expenditures, it's a pretty lean organization. If we want to further reduce expenditures, we may need to start getting a little creative and rethinking how we deliver services to avoid a potential reduction of village services to the community. We also continue to beat industry trends for health insurance premiums and property casualty and workers' comp insurance expenses, and that allows us to really hold the line on our expenditures. We maintain nominal salary growth to remain competitive as an employer and also evaluate our contributions to employee pensions. Contractual services account for nearly 20% of general fund expenditures, and so we evaluate those contracts each time we go out to bid and work to keep those costs controlled or reduced over time. Looking at revenues, the property tax levy will include a CPI increase of 1.4% based on the December 19 to 20 increase in the CPI. So that's not the current levy, as we talked about. We held the line on that. And again, staff will continue to review fines and charges for services and recommend enhancements when and where appropriate. We understand that people are hurting from the pandemic. Certainly the last thing we want to do is add to that. And so the village will continue to hold the line and maintain those where they are currently at and focus on providing relief for the residents. In conclusion, so despite the village's, despite the challenge, the village remains in a strong financial position. We remain focused on providing critical services, on purchasing only critical items and limiting non-essential spending. Shared and state reported revenues are on a 3-month delay, so we're constantly battling that as we project our revenues going forward. We'll continue to monitor the impact of COVID-19 on the revenues and report back to the Village Board regarding American Rescue Plan funds and how those can be utilized to support the community. We'll evaluate water rates and other charges and fines and pursue grant funding for village projects. As I close out my presentation tonight and open it up for questions, I want to take a moment to thank Rosie McAdams and Kiki Boyer, our assistant finance director and our finance director, for their incredible work on the budget. This has been a year of transition in a lot of ways for the organization, and they have been just unbelievably supportive and professional and fantastic in everything they do. And I'm incredibly fortunate to have them as a member of my team. So thank you very, very much. In addition, every department head, Public Works has an enormous lift when it comes to the budget every year. And all of the department heads and their staff do an outstanding job of preparing the documents and spend a tremendous amount of time figuring out how best to serve the community and the organization and be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars that we are given. So thank you to all of them, and thank you to the board for your support and for your attention tonight.
Great. Very good. Thank you. So I'm going to, unfortunately, we've got about 10 minutes, but so I will open it up to any of the trustees that may have questions for Rosie and or Lisa.
Hi, it's Erica. I have a question, Lisa. Thank you so much for the presentation tonight. Very good job on that. I want to check in about the $1.3 million in rescue plan funds and see, is that for reimbursements for last year's budget, or is that moving forward for fiscal year 22? Do we have to use that those funds by a certain date?
So a little bit of both. I mean, it's not necessarily reimbursement for expenses last year, right? So we've gotten about $112,000 from FEMA and under the CARES Act to reimburse the village for some of the expenditures that were incurred as a result of the pandemic. The American Rescue Plan, as I understand it, is really more for going forward, but there is some component of this that can be utilized for lost revenue. So that's something I want to have Rosie take a look at. My reading, the last information that I read is that there is some sort of deadline for the expenditure of the funds. I don't know exactly what that is. And there are certain expenses that are and are not eligible. So for example, we can use it for revenue replacement, but we cannot use it for pension funding. Mm-hmm. So those are all different components that we're going to be taking a look at and coming back to the board.
Okay, thanks.
You bet.
Thanks, Erica.
Hi, it's Katie. I've got a couple questions. Lisa, thanks for your presentation. You mentioned that the refuse revenues are higher, I think, starting next month due to a 2.5% increase. And that's comprises about half of the general fund expenses. And also that our contract with Roy Strom and in exactly 1 year. And Roy Strom's been acquired by a larger hauler now, Shore Recycling. Where do we stand with those contract negotiations for the next contract with Lakeshore? And do we have any sense whether that is going to be, that number is going to keep going higher, stay the same, or reduce?
That's a good question. We haven't started negotiations yet. John Anderson, do you want to talk about the process and sort of the timeline that leads up to when we would go out to bid for that contract?
Sure, right. So the Village Board had previously directed us to have negotiations with Roy Strom. Since then, they've been acquired, as you said, by Lakeshore Recycling. So the contract ends in a year. We were going to have the Sustainability Commission provide recommendations for what the next contract could look like, and then get their feedback and get that to the board and either pursue a renegotiation or go out to bid or RFP for the next contract.
What's the timing for getting that information from the Sustainability Commission? Because I think we got to move on this.
It's coming up soon.
Okay, I have another question about in the administrative budget, there's a $25,000 under the consulting projects for comprehensive plan implementation. And I'm just curious about what exactly that entails. I know a lot of the comp plan projects are line items in the budget. So I'm curious what the consulting for comp plan implementation means.
Sure. At the time the budget was drafted, we had set aside some money. So comprehensive plan, affordable housing plan, essentially they're consulting dollars for a variety of projects that can come up, and the board can work with us to certainly prioritize that. For instance, one of the things we're doing right now is taking a look at accessory dwelling units. And we were able to engage in a partnership that's on the board agenda tonight at 7 with CMAP, so we were able to reduce those costs. But we set aside money like that. So for instance, if we wanted to take a look at zoning regulations and bulk requirements, that would be seed money to get that process started.
So if the board votes for the CMAP contract tonight, would that money come out of this $25,000?
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other further questions?
Hey, Lisa, nice job on the presentation. Congratulations to Rosie and the team. Just on the dispatch center, you said there was a 22.75% increase. What kind of rent do we collect from them? Is there like an offset there? I mean, what's the net number on that?
Yeah, I don't remember specifically what amount. Yeah, we do collect rent from them. That was something that was implemented a few years ago. Rosie, do you...
Approximately about $4,500.
Rosie, your mic is not on.
No, your desk mic. Got it. Okay. Sorry. It's approximately $4,500 a month. So annually, better than 60.
I think it's on the line item. It's 53,570.
Yeah, it's on. Okay.
Yeah. So and it goes up annually based on the CPI.
Okay. So at some point in time, does that become a losing proposition for us? Just something to think about as we kind of go forward. If we're going to continue to see these kind of drops, is there a better allocation of that space for the village in the future? Just a comment.
Fair enough.
And then just one other thing, I want to thank the residents who participated this evening. One of the things that we heard a lot about over the last couple of months is transparency. And a number of the items that were brought up tonight were on agenda items that we discussed as a board over the past several months. So I just encourage residents to go and look at our packets. And so we can have these conversations up front as opposed to trying to deal with them when we're trying to approve a budget. So, but again, I want to thank them for their effort tonight to join us.
Any other comments from any other trustees? Okay, hearing none, I too want to thank the staff led by Lisa and Rosie for your hard work in putting this together. I thought a lot of the questions and comments brought up by the residents and the trustees were good ones. I'm very happy about, you know, that we're balancing our budget, and I'm confident that we will be balancing our budget in the future. But I understand the projections and why we need to do it. But I'm very confident that we are very in good standard, finance standard. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting unless we hear any other further comment. So if I can get a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole meeting.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. If I can ask the clerk to please take.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick, I'm not sure if I saw you.
No, I don't think she was on her.
Okay. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay. Motion.
Okay. We're going to adjourn this meeting, and then we are going to start in 1 minute.